Thank you, Ree. And now, back to the news.
She was thrown in prison twice and took part in a hunger strike because she believed so passionately in women's rights. But there are still large gaps in what is known about the extraordinary life of Norfolk suffragette Caprina Fahey. Now, Norfolk Museum Service is appealing for the public to help shed some light on her life ahead of an exhibition next year. The service has nominated her for a Women's Local Government Society project to mark 100 years of suffrage pioneers. Museum's staff have been researching the life of Caprina with Norfolk Record Office, but are now appealing for people who may be related to her or hold items relating to her life to get in touch. Caprina joined the Women's Social and Political Union, WSPU, in 1908. In 1910, she was the WSPU organiser for the Middlesex Parliamentary Division, and in 1913, she was one of the group captains at the funeral of Emily Wilding Davison. In 1909, Caprina was arrested and imprisoned for a month for taking part in the deputation from the Women's Parliament in Caxton Hall to the Houses of Parliament. The following year, she took part in the Black Friday incident in November and was sentenced to 2 weeks imprisonment for stone throwing. While Caprina's WSPU medal is in Norfolk Museum Services collection, a notable omission is a photograph of the woman herself.
Schools across Norfolk will be collecting sugar donations this Christmas to help the homeless and people in need. The Sugar for Shelter scheme is coordinated by former Norfolk head teacher Helen Lamb. Mrs. Lamb said, "Collecting sugar is simple and affordable and helps children focus on the spirit of giving at Christmas. Many children wrap up the sugar in festive paper and place it under the school Christmas tree as a gift for the homeless. Large amounts of sugar are needed at Norfolk and Suffolk shelters and food kitchens over the winter period for tea, coffee and festive food. Donations of tea, coffee, biscuits or other food can also be made for the worthy cause. All the goods donated will be given out on December the 17th.
The Poppy Shop at the Chapelfield Shopping Centre, one of 10 pop-up shops across the country, is now open throughout Remembrance 2017. Since October 23rd and up until Remembrance Sunday, the pop-up shop will be offering a host of poppy-related goods to help shoppers show their support for the Royal British Legion and the important work they do for members of the British Armed Forces, veterans and their families. All poppy shop profits will go to the charity. Included this year is the 2017 edition of the red crystal poppy brooch. Also available is the gold-toned Passchendaele 100 poppy lapel pin, marking the centenary of the infamous battle, and two special edition Ola Keeley shopping bags, perfect for carrying home all those poppy shop purchases.
It is a nature reserve that is a gateway to the Broads and part of Great Yarmouth's scenic sweep. But sadly, Breydon Water has now got a new claim to fame by being the target of litter bugs. The dumped items were found during a litter pick by the Broads Authority, which saw more than 50 bags of rubbish collected by a team of rangers. Other than masses of plastic bags, bottles and hypodermic needles, a number of more surprising items were removed, including a television, children's car seat, multiple traffic cones, and even a children's toy castle. As a result of low tides and shallow mud flats, litter picks are particularly difficult to complete at Breydon Water. Litter can build up to considerable levels as it becomes stuck in inaccessible mud and can only be removed when high tide levels are present. Due to the very high tides recently experienced, a team of Broads Authority rangers were able to conduct a mass litter pick.
A 7-year-old girl who was left profoundly disabled due to errors when she was born at a Norfolk hospital will receive millions in NHS damages. The girl was born at the Norfolk and Norwich University Hospital in 2010 and was left with cerebral palsy after her brain was starved of oxygen during her birth. She is now unable to walk, has hearing and sight difficulties, is tube-fed and has a shortened life expectancy. Her mother sued the hospital for damages and, having admitted liabilities, it has agreed to pay a lump sum of £2.5 million and indexed linked annual payments to cover the cost of care throughout her life. Those payments will start at £125,000 a year between the ages of 7 and 10 and will rise to £165,000 a year from 11 to 19 and £240,000 a year from 19 onwards. Judge Neil Bidder, QC, told London's High Court that the girl's mother suffered from a medical condition which had not properly been taken into account when she became pregnant. Substantial complications arose during the latter stages of her pregnancy and in her labour, he said. He said the girl was now profoundly disabled with injuries of the utmost severity. Edward Bishop, QC, for the girl, told the court that the girl's injuries were caused by the hospital's failure to respond quickly enough to abnormalities on the CTG trace.
Police are warning people to be cautious after a man claiming to be a police officer pulled over a car. The victim, a man in his 40s, reported that he was travelling on Holway Road in Sheringham at around 10 p.m. on Tuesday, November the 7th, when a man, purporting to be a police officer, pulled him over using a thin light bar on the roof of his new-shaped silver Ford Fiesta. Once pulled over, the so-called officer proceeded to carry out a fake breath test. The witness says the culprit wore a long high-vis jacket with police wording on the front and rear, a white police hat but no radio or utility belt. He is also described as being around 40 years old, approximately 5'8", with black hair. Chief Inspector Wes Hornigold said, "We are keen to identify the car, which had a headlight out, as well as the occupant who was claiming to be a police officer. The motive remains unclear at this time and no further offences were committed."
A map highlighting Norfolk's lack of mobile internet coverage is set to be created just weeks after an investigation by this newspaper. The definitive map of Norfolk's mobile coverage will be used to press for improvements in the county's not spots. At a meeting yesterday, Norfolk County Council's Digital Innovation and Efficiency Committee unanimously approved plans to commission a countrywide survey of mobile voice and data coverage across all major networks providing services in Norfolk. As a minimum, the survey would be expected to capture coverage along all the county's A and B roads, its major rail routes and stations, key tourist areas, and in the urban centres of Norwich, King's Lynn and Great Yarmouth. Once the results are known, Norfolk County Council intends to use them to strengthen the business case for further investment to boost mobile coverage.
Nearly 140 employers in the east of England have committed to give workers a pay rise as the voluntary living wage goes up. However, 484,000 people in the region are still not being paid £8.45 per hour, the independently calculated minimum amount to get by based on living costs. The voluntary living wage, as set by the Living Wage Foundation, LWF, is higher than the statutory national living wage, the rebranded minimum wage, for over 25s, and will increase by 45 pence to £10.20 an hour in London and by 30 pence to £8.75 in the rest of the country. The national lower limit for over 25 stands at £7.50 an hour. Among the companies to pay the rent is insurer Aviva, a member of the EDP EADT top 100 list of companies by highest turnover in Norfolk and Suffolk. Aviva Group Property and Facilities Director Stuart Wright, chair of the LWF Advisory Council, said, "We made the commitment to pay the real living wage because it's the right thing to do and because it's also good business."
A Norfolk care home is in need of old donations so it can send its residents back to the 1950s. Hickling House Residential Home for Dementia is creating a 1950s sitting room to send residents back to the good old days. The home would like donations of anything from the 1950s. Jane Kidman, who works at the home, said, "We are looking for any items, literally anything. It can be a mirror, clock, lamp, or even newspapers and magazines. Anything to give the room a truly original feel." The home is also preparing for the installation of a Tove Teufel magic table. It was developed for people in the moderate to severe stages of dementia with games intended to break through apathy by stimulating both physical and cognitive activity. The system is a small, ceiling-mounted box containing a projector, speakers, sensors and processors, which work to create the interactive gaming environment.
Well, that's all on this part of Chatterbox. So it's goodbye from
Bridget Cook
and James McGarry. Please stay tuned for Information Desk, more news, and a feature written by Neil Haverson, the Let's Talk Lost Word writer.